Good morning. When we think about the name of Jesus Christ, we are thinking about a name that is above every other name. There is something special about that name. We want to look at that text. We look at our text this morning, and we found there in Matthew chapter 1 that back in verse 23, it is said, "They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted as God with us. But then when he was born, that Joseph implied here that he called his name Jesus. What is the background to all of this? If you have your Bible and want to turn back to Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 7, we find the background to all of this. Reza, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of Israel, had made an alliance together, and they were going to attack Jerusalem. And of course, King Ahaz was very afraid about this. But in Isaiah 7 and verse 4, the Lord tells the prophet, "Say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin of Syria and the son of Remaliah," that was Pekah, "because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. And thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely you will not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it in either depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear you now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? The prophet is saying, I told you to ask for a sign. And when the king said, I will not ask for a sign, it would appear that he was doing it out of humility because he said, I will not tempt the Lord. But Isaiah knew that in his heart that wasn't the reason. He just simply wasn't going to ask. And that's the reason for Isaiah's response. And then in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Butter and honey were the common staple foods of the people of the land. They were afraid at this time that Rezin and Pekah, when they came against Israel and against Judah, that they would take away the basic necessities of life. But this is that which all children ate at the time. And the point here is that Jesus would be nourished up like any other child would be. And then when he came to that time, when he was old enough to know the difference between good or evil, that he would have had a normal upbringing, a normal childhood. And so Isaiah also calms the people by telling them, these two kings, their plot against Jerusalem will not stand. It's not going to happen. And so then we find that prophecy of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, that he would be born of a virgin. Some translations have inserted there young woman instead of virgin. And Alma could be, technically could be translated that way. But in Matthew 1 and verse 18, as we read just a moment ago, we read that Matthew commented on that verse and made the point that it was a virgin. And the word for virgin in the New Testament has only one meaning, and that is a virgin. So Isaiah was saying the same thing that we've always thought that he was saying and that Matthew confirms to us. There were young women having babies all the time. There would be no sign from a young woman having a baby for a virgin to have a baby. It would be a miracle. It would be humanly impossible, but with God it would be possible. And so Isaiah says that is the sign that the Lord is going to give you. Well, the angel told Mary that she was the one that was chosen to bear this special child and that she was to call his name Jesus, Luke 1 and verse 31. The text reads literally, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Well, the name Jesus means literally Savior. It is from a Greek from the Greek name Joshua. In fact, on one occasion at least, we find the word Joshua there where Jesus would be, but that it makes sense because it's from the Hebrew, it's a Greek rendering of the Greek word or the Hebrew word for Joshua. But this word means Savior, and Savior literally, Savior of the world. The word Christ is from a word that means anointed. In the New Testament, we read the word Christ. Remember, in the Old Testament, we read the word Messiah. Christ is the equivalent of, it's synonymous with Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah that was to come, and in the New Testament, he is called the Christ. Someone says, well, why talk about this at this time of the year? Well, according to Luke 2 and verse 8, we find that when Jesus was born, that there were shepherds out in the field in the same country, and they were watching their flocks at night. We know biblically and we know historically and from other Jewish writings that the only time, since their weather patterns tends to parallel ours, that the only time they would be out in the fields at night with their flocks was from late spring until early fall. And so this is actually historically and factually a closer time to the time of the actual literal birth of Jesus Christ than the dead of winter. Again, that's Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, and you can look at that as you like. So when we look at Jesus then, and we look at his name, the Lord's name, we know that it is a name above all names because it was heaven's selection. That name, that choice of that name came from heaven itself. That's what Mary was told, that she was to give birth to this child, that she would name him Jesus. In Luke 2:21, when the infant was circumcised, the angel commanded, when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel because he was conceived in the womb. So then we might ask the question, why did Isaiah say that he would be called Emmanuel, and then the angel said he would be called Jesus? The angel, according to Matthew's account, we read just a moment ago in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, Matthew explains it for us. The angel here is quoting Isaiah, and he says, they shall call him Emmanuel. That's what the people were going to call him. Emmanuel literally means God with us. That's what people were going to call Jesus, because he was God in the flesh. When it was first used by Isaiah, it simply meant that God was going to be with his people. But now God is going to be with his people in a more literal way once Jesus came into this world and became God in the flesh. John 1, 1 through 4. And then verse 14, and we beheld his glory even as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is God with us and was for them literally God with us. But the angel specifically said he will be named Jesus by his parents, because he is the Savior of the world. Emmanuel was a descriptive name chosen by a generation, but Jesus was his proper name that was given by his parents. There are other names that are given to Jesus in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. We remember some of these. The Bible says, therefore unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So there were a lot of titles that were given to Jesus, but the angel told his parents, you will call him Jesus. And that is, of course, what Joseph did. Number two, it is a special name because it received heaven's commendation. All authority rests in the person who bears the name of Jesus. When Peter had confessed Jesus before him and before the other disciples, Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, which means son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Jesus went on to say that he was going to build his church in the gates of the Hadean world, the gates of the grave. The King James uses the word hell there, but hell is often used in the place of Hades, representing the abode of departed spirits. What Jesus was saying is, death is not going to stop me. The grave will not hold me. I will build my church. He said, upon this rock, the confession that had been made, upon this rock, I will build my church in the gates of Hades. If you're reading the New King James and any other translation, that's the word you'll find. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said after the resurrection, all authority, all power hath been given me in heaven and in earth. The recognition that was given to the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, we find Peter and John coming to the temple. There was a gate there that was called Beautiful. There was a man there that had been paralyzed from the time that he was born. And this man who was paralyzed, he would beg gifts, monetary gifts, from people that would go by. And when Peter came there, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The power was in the name of Jesus Christ when it was used appropriately, when it was used by his authority. But the miraculous power that was available to those in the first century were not available to those who sought to misuse it. And we find an occasion in Acts 19 where this is borne out. Beginning at verse 13, the Bible says, "And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." It was not a name to be used by those who had no authority to use it. It was not a name to be used appropriately, because it is a name above all others. It's a name of Jesus. It is in the name, or by the name of Jesus, that Christians are baptized into the spiritual body of the church. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I'm sure you probably have. But in Acts 2 and verse 38, we focus on the repentance and the remission of sins. But notice that he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." To do something in someone's name means to do it by their authority. So when Peter told them on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, it wasn't something that he had dreamed up or imagined. It was by the authority of Jesus Christ. And that's the authority, the keys to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus had promised Peter when he made that confession in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. In Acts chapter 8, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The church at Ephesus, those people from Ephesus, the Bible says in Acts 19 and verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, by his authority. We are admonished as Christians that whatever we do religiously, that we do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whatever we do, whether it be in worship, whether it be in our private life, whether it be in service, we do it by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because his is the name wherein that authority is found. Number three, and finally, we notice how wonderful the name is because of heaven's glorification. If you remember in Philippians 2, verse 11, verse 5 beginning, Paul said this. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." One translation there says, thought it was not something to be grasped. The point is, he did not say, "I am too good to go to the earth. I'm not too good to become a man. I'm not going to hold on to my status or my position in heaven." But he willingly went. The Bible goes on to say, here Paul saying, "but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." In Acts chapter 4, we find there in the sermon that is being preached, and Peter says in verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now, verse 10 said, it's the name of Jesus Christ. But listen to verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. When John was concluding the gospel that bears his name, he wrote in John 20 and verse 30, that and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. All things that we do, all things that we do to serve the Lord, they're to be done by his authority, to be done in his name. We would encourage anyone this morning who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to act upon that faith. Don't let it be a dormant faith, but act upon it. The Bible tells us, we read one passage in Acts chapter 2, that Peter told those on Pentecost when they realized their sin, that they were to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is by his authority. We would encourage people to do the same thing, no more, no less, in regards to that passage. Jesus also said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. So we would encourage people who truly believed to confess their faith before others. Not any more, not any less, based on what Jesus said on that passage. In Acts chapter 2, we find that people who believed and who had confessed their faith by the statement that they made and repented and were baptized, who had received the word gladly. That's the way Peter describes it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, that it was Christ who added them to the church. Verse 47, people didn't vote on them. People didn't try to decide whether they were worthy or not. When they had obeyed the instructions of the Lord by his name, in the name of Jesus, it was the Lord who added them to the church. And that should be a confidence for all of us. As we live the Christian life, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we fail. 1 John 1 and verse 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, then God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's just something special about that name, about the name Jesus. There's salvation in none other. Have you been saved by the authority of that is in the name of Jesus Christ? I hope that you have, but if you haven't, if there's anything missing, we encourage you to do whatever is necessary to make your life right with God so that your life can be a life of peace and joy and blessing. If we could help you, would you come as we stand and as we sing?